I love doing what I do for the fact that it helps me be successful in my life, but I actually love what I do more so that it helps other people be successful in their lives, to be honest with you.
Hey, welcome to the Business of Sales. I'm Morris Sims, and I'm going to be your host for this podcast. Are you working as hard as you can, putting in just as many hours as you possibly can, but your income and your business, well, it just doesn't seem to be improving the way you want it to. It's just not growing as fast as you'd like. Well, I help business owners like yourself become more efficient with running their business and more effective in making sales. Because when you do both of those things, then your gross revenue goes up. And when that happens, everything else comes into play. Who am I to help you with this? Well, I've been a successful sales professional. I've trained professional salespeople, and I've led the development department that trained over 12,000 salespeople with a staff of over 200 all across the country. I started my career barely breaking $25,000 a year, and if I was lucky, I could get 1 or 2 weeks off. I retired earning almost $500,000 a year, taking at least 5 weeks off every year. I can help you get your business to where you want it to be. On this show, our guest and I are going to share some practical ideas with you to help you grow your business and see more of that revenue become income for you and your family. I'm here to help you. So let's get this show started. Our guest today on the Business of Sales is Brett Lavender from The Persuasive Lion. Now, isn't that a wonderful name for a company? I mean, wow, we're going to learn a lot from this guy today. So, Brett, thank you for being here with us on the Business of Sales.
It is my pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me. I really do appreciate the time.
Oh, man, we're going to have a blast. Talk to me about The Persuasive Lion. Where did that come from? Tell me your story, Brett.
All right. So it's a long story, but I'm going to give you the short version.
Okay, cool.
In short order, the reason that I call my company The Persuasive Lion is because my backstory really has forced me to resonate with the story of the Lion King. I came from a very tough upbringing, and this whole concept was born out of the necessity to learn how to communicate with people. The long story short is this. I'm an only child. When I was born, all my grandparents had already passed away. I was born without any aunts or uncles. In fact, the only uncle that I had, who was my mother's brother, passed away, unfortunately, when I was 2 weeks old. And then when I was 6 years old, my father was taken from me violently as a result of a gunshot wound to the head. And then when I was 19 years old, my mother passed away as a result of cancer alone with me in a hospital room at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I found myself alone. And I was always this very outgoing, high energy, aggressive, good looking, talented kid that all of a sudden found himself living in, quote, the jungle. By himself, as I would have considered to be an alpha male lion. And it dawned on me very quickly, that's a dangerous predicament. If you do not have a pride of lions around you protecting you, if you're the alpha male lion roaming through the jungle, you're in deep trouble.
Hey, y'all, hang on for just a second. I got something I just got to tell you. I'm giving away some free stuff, all right? Free stuff. I've got a copy in there of my ebook, Practical Influence, with ideas to help you improve your influence with other people. I've got some great marketing and prospecting ideas that are on an audio file, so you can listen to it while you work out or drive or whatever you'd like to. And we've also got some stuff in there on planning for 2022 to help you make 2022 your best year ever. Just go to MorrisSims.com/free stuff. That's MorrisSims.com/free stuff and get your free stuff. It's just that easy. All right. Now back to the show.
There are a lot of potential dangers out there. And so I learned very quickly that I needed to fend for myself. That combined with the fact that at a very early age, I was always a performer. I was always an entertainer. I was always in front of crowds. I was always presenting. And it dawned on me that certain things were working And certain things were not working regarding the way I said things, the way I did things, the way I thought about things, the way I interacted with humans. And so over the course of time, I started realizing there is a science to this. There's a psychology to this. There's a physiology to this. And so I started training. My original career was training performers and presenters in the entertainment world to best handle and work with large audiences. And these are the things that will work to gain credibility in front of an audience. And so over the course of time, I just realized this is what I was destined to do. And it turned into a program that I call the Lost Languages, that has developed into a process that really is changing lives, especially in today's world, as a result of technology. And then, of course, COVID came into play. And so everyone was forced behind a computer screen. And I realized that we as humans have lost, in large capacity, the ability to communicate interpersonally, one-on-one, one-on-five, one-on-500, with other actual human beings.
You know, I can't agree with you more. I think we've seen it, and we continue to see it everywhere we go and everywhere we look. Golly gee, we're all jumping into that technology world, and we've kind of forgotten how to just have a conversation on, you know, face-to-face.
Whether it's over the phone, even on, even virtually, there are certain things that we have lost. But when I call it the lost languages, you know, it's interesting because it's come to my realization that the most recognizable language on the planet right now are emojis. Emojis. And that brings me back to a time where cavemen were scrawling pictures of deer and birds and maybe even spaceships on cave walls.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet the ability to look somebody directly in their eyes for more than, 3.2 seconds has gone down the road. We don't know how to communicate. It's not just millennials, by the way. It's people in their 30s and their 40s and their 50s, because technology has taken such a big piece away from that ability to actually have a conversation with somebody and exude real emotions and expression and think about a thought and then actually deliver that thought with credibility and viability and believability. And so that's what I'm here for. That's what I do. I have discovered the secret key to what I consider to be these lost languages. And I think they are as valuable as any skill in business that we can possibly master.
I couldn't agree more. And for our audience, Brett, most of our folks are probably, well, we're all salespeople for sure, but I think most of our folks are probably in the financial services world of professional sales. So these folks, our friends are out there presenting to people one-on-one, sometimes one on several in a boardroom kind of a situation, but they're constantly having to communicate. What can you share with us that might be of some help to them in getting their language correct in today's world?
Well, look, when I do, for example, a keynote speech, I always say I can't move mountains in an hour. But what I can do is offer some ideas as to three major components that I think people have really kind of lost direction on, in terms of how to communicate effectively, especially if you're a business owner and or a salesperson. Okay. And the first one, which I kind of touched on a little bit, is eye contact. There is nothing more valuable than the ability to make effective, connected eye contact. Now, I have developed what I believe to be easy eye contact, meaning, eye contact can be used to develop and deliver a variety of different emotions: anger, love, passion, hatred, direction, sympathy, sadness. Sometimes it's creepy, right?
I got to tell you, I just wrote that down. I wrote down, I've got to ask Brett, how do you keep from being creepy?
Well, because I'm going to tell you, the eyes, first of all, let's clarify one thing. I believe that every cliche that has ever been made a cliche is true. Why? because it's been said a billion times. That's how it became cliche. Well, guess what? If I had somebody take one of my quotes and say it a billion times, I would never have to work again, right? And exactly, so cliches are real. And so when you hear the eyes are the windows to the soul, there could be no truer statement made. You look into somebody's eyes and they instinctively, subconsciously will derive a feeling from that interaction. They might not understand what it is or where it's coming from because we're so far removed from that at this point, but they will feel something. And I have exercise after exercise that evaluates and helps you evolve and improve your eye contact. But so in terms of what you asked me about sales, eye contact, direct, connected, easy eye contact is one of, if not the most important skill set in terms of improving your ability to communicate with prospective sales clients, vendors, coworkers, family, friends, you know, your kids, your siblings, and your spouse. The second thing is something that I call vocal melody. And we don't have enough time to give you a dissertation on the value and the importance of vocal melody, but it is of paramount importance because, again, I encounter an enormous amount of people that don't understand the value of vocal melody. And then finally, as it relates to salespeople, whether it's somebody working as an independent salesperson or somebody that's owning their own business, understanding the nature of your own thoughts and how to control your, what I call your remote control, in conjunction with your machine, which I refer to as your drone, right? Every thought you think is going to create a direct result in how your machine reacts to it. If you've ever worked with or seen somebody working with a drone, you know, one of those machines that fly around, yeah. The most minute shift in the remote is going to change the direction, the altitude, whatever that drone is capable of doing is going to shift based on the most minute shifts in the remote. So I find that most people don't really understand that everything you say to yourself, every piece of information that you put into that remote control is going to create a shift in your machine. And every shift in your machine is going to create a shift in how somebody else's machine reacts to you.
So that, you know, back to the whole idea of eye contact, doesn't that expand all the way into facial expressions?
Absolutely. Well, it's all a thing. So again, when we talk about my concept of the lost languages, it outlines all of this. Eye contact, facial expressions, body language, hand gestures, tone of voice. It even goes deeper than that, by the way, just so you're aware. So your thoughts are going to control the dilation or the constriction of your pupils. And whether people realize it or not, instinctively, whether we want to accept this or not, we're mammals.
Yeah.
We might think that we are higher level mammals than mammals in the natural world, but ultimately that's what we are. And so mammals react to constriction and dilation of the pupil, whether they want to or not. It's going to shift how our pheromones deliver. Well, again, how do we have control over how we react to somebody's pheromones? When you mentioned facial expressions, there are more facial muscles than you could possibly count. And when you think about a thing, your facial muscles react.
Yeah, I know mine do. My daughter is forever telling me, Dad, about my grandkids, Dad, watch the way you look at him because your facial expression is letting him know that you're not happy with his behavior. And I said, well, maybe that's for the good. I don't know.
Well, and it might be delivering a different message than you're thinking.
Yeah,
you might be upset about something, but wanting to deliver that in a way that derives a different response. But because you're not necessarily in control of how your face is reacting, you're going to get a different response than maybe the one you were hoping for.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. 100%.
And that literally goes from head to toe, just so you're aware. That's part of your face, your hands, your body language. How many times are you talking to somebody and they're sitting in a chair and they're shaking their leg uncontrollably? And they don't even realize that they're shaking their leg uncontrollably, but that is sending a message to the person receiving that information.
Oh, there's no doubt. I had a gentleman in a class in New York for a week, and he was an extremely productive, very, very high-performing individual in sales and recruiting. And he was so – I mean, the message at that foot that never stopped told me was, I am bored to tears, and I want out of here because this is not helping me get to where I want to be.
One thing I've learned about the way we deliver – well, there's a few things. Number one is your delivery of a message – is always way more important than the actual content. How you deliver the message is going to be way more effective in terms of the way people receive you than the actual content. And then you really have to be aware of what is happening. So for example, if we use the leg shaking thing, right? Your leg didn't tell itself to shake.
Right.
Something in your brain sent a message to your leg and your foot and your ankle that created that response. Well, that is a language. You know, when we think about people that are not able to hear, they use their hands and their face to communicate 100%. Well, that's a language. How many times have you seen somebody on stage that's using their hands in a way that's sending a completely different message than their thoughts or their words?
And that causes a disconnect completely with the audience, doesn't it?
Well, I don't necessarily know if the word would be disconnect as much as lost in translation. Okay. So in other words, the thought that you're thinking is going to dictate the words that you're saying, but maybe the thoughts and the words are not delivering the same message as your hands or your body language or your facial expression. And that's why it gets confusing. And one of the reasons behind that is that we're not all the same. We're all very different. You know, I always use the example of dogs. So, you know, everyone says, well, dogs are dogs, but that's not nearly the truth. A Doberman Pinscher is extremely different than a Chihuahua. And a Chihuahua is extremely different than a Labrador Retriever in terms of everything: diet, aggression, affection, trainability, lifespan, everything. We are the same as humans. So we need to be in control of the exact message that we're delivering, because we don't even know what – just because we're all humans doesn't mean we're the same.
Oh,
we're all equal,
sure.
But we're very different. So there's certain fundamental skills that I teach that are instinctive threads, I call them, that travel through all of us as humans. And so if we can at least get control of that foundation – then it will allow us to not only communicate more effectively, get better results from those communications, but also be in control of, if we're thinking a certain thing, are we delivering that message effectively?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense. It really does, Brett. Tell me more about that sales situation. I mean, I've been in a bazillion of them. When I was actually selling out there in the real world, and then even as a corporate executive, heck, I was still selling. I was just selling in the boardroom, not in somebody's business or in their kitchen. What can you tell us about being in that sales situation? Give me a couple of hacks that are going to help some folks.
Oh, I have several of them. So first of all, again, speaking to what we just talked about in terms of identifying the animal that you're in front of, right? Mm-hmm. What makes them tick? What pushes their buttons? What makes them react? You have to be able to kind of sort of, and this is a long-term process, but you have to sort of identify, who am I in front of? Is a more aggressive approach going to make more sense, or is a more passive approach going to make more sense? Mm-hmm. I can assure you that the eye contact thing is going to cross over into every one of those categories. So making sure that people believe you, because that's what genuine eye contact does derive: believability, trustworthiness, dependability. They believe you more. How many times have you been standing in front of somebody who is literally 3 feet in front of your face and they're having a conversation with you, but they're looking up at the sky, or they're looking to the left, or they're looking to the right, or they're looking down at their shoes? If you have the ability to directly communicate with somebody in their eyes for an extended period of time, it's always going to capture their attention more effectively than if you're looking away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One hack, and you asked about a hack, so I'm going to give you a hack. And this is actually fast forwarding, because one big portion of my program is about positive self-talk. And several years ago, I came up with a concept that basically helps you evaluate your thoughts and your emotions and your feelings and sidestep them. So for example, you know, in the sales world, if you're walking into a huge sales meeting and you know this is a big one, this could be a make or break for your year, maybe even for your career, and you are nervous and you're shaking and you're like, oh my God, and I'm sweating, my upper lip is sweating, and I'm like, I have to nail this, and you're nervous. That's how you feel. And so I stopped and said, and this was not just derived from this concept of sales. It was about anger. It was about aggression. It was about sadness. It was about every kind of emotion you could think of. But I stopped and said, what if I, instead of thinking about how I feel, what if I stopped and said, well, how do I feel about how I feel? So for example, let's use the sales example. You're walking into a really big sales appointment and you are nervous and you're like, oh my God, what if this doesn't work? What am I going to do? Well, that's going to affect your delivery. No question about it, because you're telling yourself a certain thing and you're already convincing yourself of the fact that you're nervous. But let's take that backwards and say, how do I feel about how I feel? So I'm walking into the same sales meeting and I go, well, I'm feeling nervous, but if I'm nervous about the fact that I'm nervous, then I'm nervous squared. Then I'm extra nervous. Then I'm more nervous than I was because of the fact that I'm allowing myself to feel nervous, and that's making me more nervous.
And we're going to get into an exponential growth kind of a problem then, it seems to me.
Exactly. It is exponential. Right. And it could be detrimental on many levels.
Yeah.
However, if you stop and say, wait a second, any normal person in this scenario would feel nervous. It's okay to feel nervous. So instead of how I feel about how I feel being I'm nervous because I'm nervous, the overriding thought then becomes, well, wait a second, let me take a deep breath, because I'm okay with feeling nervous right now, because anybody in my shoes would feel nervous. For whatever reason, that overriding thought is, I'm okay with this, takes over. And the thought of being nervous starts to dilute. It starts to dissolve. And I'm telling you, I've used this a million times with a million clients, including myself, and it just works every time. If I'm angry about something, well, how do I feel about being angry? Well, if I'm angry about the fact that I'm angry, then I'm angrier. But if I go, any normal person in this situation would be angry, I'm okay with this, I almost start to, and I've done this in the past, I've almost started to laugh at myself, going, how silly is this, right? I'm so upset about the fact that I'm angry, but if I stop and say, how do I feel about how I feel, then it just becomes an easier emotion to deal with.
That's an amazing concept of changing your point of view, Brett. I love it.
Yeah. Well, it's just about changing perspective. You know, it's interesting. If we were live on video right now, I'd show you an example. But, you know, there's a cliche. You know, I told you earlier on that I believe in every cliche. And there's one that I'm going to actually discount right now. And there's a cliche that says perception is reality. But that's not the truth. Perception is just perception. And we are the only ones that can create and define what our perception of something is. It's all about how you look at things. Yeah. And so with that, how you feel about how you feel, it's just shifting your perspective, just because you think something is a certain way doesn't mean it is that way. It's just the way you're thinking about it. The only inventory, the only real estate that we have control over, absolute control over, is the 6 inches between our ears. That's it. That's all we control. Everything else is about somebody else's perspective. And the reality is the thing that exists actually in the middle, that none of us are seeing the same thing. I'm seeing it a certain way, you're seeing it a certain way, and there's an infinite number of ways of looking at a specific thing, even if it's a physical item. I usually use a cell phone, right? If I were to put a cell phone on a stand and I were to have you look at it from an infinite number of different angles, it would look like something different every single time. So your perception would change, but the reality wouldn't.
Oh, I love that example. That really explains it.
Yeah.
Oh, how cool. Yeah. And it would change based on who's looking at it as well.
Who's looking at it? What's the lighting? What's the atmosphere? What's the temperature? Is there noise in the back? I mean, literally, perception is shifted based on an infinite number of circumstances. And yet we have this unrealistic perception that perception is reality, but that's not true at all. Not even close to the truth, actually.
So basically then the result of that is that we have the power, if you will, I don't like that word necessarily, but we have the ability to have an impact on how people are looking at things and how they are perceiving things.
1,000%. 1,000%, which is why I said the only control factor that we have is our remote control and how we use this machine, with the understanding that every thought we input is going to create an output from the machine, and then every output from the machine is going to derive a different response from other people, whether we're talking to one person or 1,000 people. So realistically, we have as much control in our hands to affect people's reactions to us. You know, people think that we don't have control over that, but that's absolutely completely counter to the truth. We have way more control over how we present ourselves in the world, personally, professionally, spiritually, intellectually, than we ever give ourselves credit for. And so once you learn these skills and you say, okay, I'm in control of me, that's all I have, then you can see what's going to work with other people. So, you know, when we talk about eye contact, I tell people all the time, if I'm in person with a group, there are a variety of different exercises that I run through to enhance how to use these two most important muscles that are the lamps that are our eyes. But when I'm talking to someone like your audience, I would say, listen, today, after you listen to this, go to the supermarket. And when you're checking out with the cashier, make it a point, even if it becomes uncomfortable, to look the cashier directly in his or her eyes and make a connection. And say something nice. How's your day going? Thank you so much for your help. What a beautiful day we're having. Maybe you should get outside for 15 minutes on your break. Make a connection with people, because that's all we have control over.
Absolutely. Brett, I've learned a lot in our little conversation here, but if I'm out there and I've been listening to this conversation and I want to learn more, how can I get some of your information and learn more from you, buddy?
Well, first of all, thank you for asking that. And it is my pleasure. I love doing this. I donate time to this. I speak all over the world with this. And I have a website that is www.thepersuasivelion.com. And I'm always so surprised at how many people ask me how to spell persuasive. So I'm going to go for it with you. It's www.thepersuasivelion.com. And I make myself available for keynote speeches, webinars, seminars, group sessions, and one-on-one coaching. And it is always beneficial. People always ask me, who's your target audience? And for this particular application, as we're speaking today, yes, it's CEOs or salespeople or business owners. But realistically, this type of training and this type of technology, psychologically, physiologically, is really designed for human beings in terms of how to communicate more effectively with other human beings.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we're all in sales. I mean, it just depends on what you're selling and who you're selling to. The best sale I ever made in my entire life was when I was able to persuade my beautiful wife to come and marry me and be my wife for the rest of my life. And that's the best sale I've ever made. But it's still a sale.
You're absolutely correct, by the way. We're always selling something. Whether we're selling an idea or a product or a concept, or ourselves, right? We're always selling. So when I first started this, I was teaching what I called MCs, masters of ceremony. Mm-hmm. And then it dawned on me, we are all the masters of ceremony of our lives. 100%, whether we're dealing with business associates or salespeople or vendors or coworkers or our wives or our kids or our parents, or even our enemies for that matter, we are always in charge of being the masters of ceremony of our lives. Please. And that's what this whole concept is about. Understanding the things that we control are completely within our grasp. And we have the ability to have others communicate and respond to us in a more effective way. But I always tell people, control the atmosphere. I just wrote an article for a really huge blog called How to Deal with Difficult Coworkers, right? And one of the points was control the temperature of the room. Control the atmosphere. Take responsibility for it. You know, I call myself the persuasive lion. Somebody else might be a giraffe. Somebody else might be a deer. Somebody else might be a rabbit. I will never ask a giraffe or a deer or a rabbit to speak lion. I am always going to take responsibility for being a lion that learns how to speak giraffe. And so I am talking to you and communicating with you in your language, on your field, so that you don't feel intimidated or uncomfortable or not understanding the direct message that I'm trying to deliver. And it has been very successful for so many different people, whether it's CEOs of companies or soccer moms or professional athletes or presenters and speakers, salespeople, performers, what have you. These skills are fundamental. They're basic. And that's why when I say the lost languages, it's unfortunate. I mean, thankfully for me, it's very fortunate. But realistically, I interact with people and I'm like, how do you not know this? And the reason that I realize what's going on here is that this is a generational thing. Your parents or your grandparents or their parents didn't get this type of training. They're not teaching the things that I'm coaching in junior high school or colleges. Even basic speaking programs don't really touch on these fundamental ideas of how to interpersonally, physiologically, and psychologically communicate with other human beings. And most importantly, they're not teaching people how to communicate more effectively with themselves.
Brad, you're absolutely right. And thank you very much for being with us today. ThePersuasiveLion.com. You guys give Brad a click. Go out there and check out his website and see if there's not something that he could do to help us all learn how to communicate better to others and to ourselves. So, Brad, thank you very much for being with us today on The Business of Sales.
Thank you, too. This has been a pleasure. And I mean, I could talk to you for days on these topics. So whenever you want to have me back on and get on a specific topic, it'd be my pleasure.
That's fantastic. We will definitely do that. That's for sure. And for everybody else out there, you guys go out and make it a great week. Have a wonderful time. We're getting into the holidays here or past the holidays here, I guess, by the time this gets produced. But in any case, go out there and make it a great week. Have a great time. Spend some time with your family. And I look forward to seeing you again next time right here on The Business of Sales.